Blog Talk Radio.
This is Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to do a simulcast with another radio network, BBS Radio, and that's on 185 stations across the country and across the world, 37 countries in the world. So let's tap into that and see where we are. We have Billy Woodard. He's with Hollow Earth. He's supposed to be with us today to bring us up to speed on all the new things that are happening with respect to the congressional hearings and UFOs, aliens, and all the rest of the things that are happening on planet Earth. So let's tap into BBS Radio and see where we are. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It should be picking up pretty soon here. And
telephone number 832-479-7844. Can't take your call now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, simply hang up or press pound for further options.
Okay, let's see how we're going to do this. We should be on the air. Let me try them again. 627-6008, that's what I got. 2 minutes before hour. What are we doing here? Now again.
You have reached the maximum time allowed to make your recording. To review, okay. Re-record, or add to your message, press 1. To mark your message urgent, press...
Okay, let me do this. Let me try it again. 1, 2, 3... Dialing in one more time. So Billy may be on the air already. Coordination, huh? Coordinating all of this is more than a notion.
PBS Radio, please hold. We'll be with you in a few moments. In a few minutes. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. He says he'll be with us in just a moment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2. In the meantime. I don't know what
And is this, and
yeah.
Who's this, please?
This is Russ Johnson here.
How are you doing? Good, sir.
Fine. Billy, did he call in yet?
No, I'm just getting online now, and stay with me.
Right, okay.
Stay with me.
Right. How's the day going?
Oh, it's going okay. We just got our internet back up.
Oh.
Yeah. Bear with me. It's unfortunate, but...
No, it is what it is. But Billy,
yeah, we had a little bit of snafu. They had the guys out here for the last 2 hours. Putting new cable into the building, thank God. We're up now, and we're waiting for Q. Just stay with us.
Okay,
here we go. Oh, thank God. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, just stay with us. Hopefully he's going to jump on board.
Oh, you can call him. You have his number.
I don't, but I have the Zoom room open. Hopefully he jumps on board with me here.
Okay. With him about 3 minutes ago, so.
Oh, excellent. Well, what is his number?
All righty. Billy's number is, give me Billy's number.
Hold on. Son of a gun.
It's 775.
Yeah. Bear with me. Bear with me. Oh, son of a gun. Don't tell me they didn't. Those sons of. Son of a gun. Bear with me. Bear with me. We'll get there.
I have Jane's number and have hit.
It's always weird when they get down here. Hold on. Time to wake up. There we go.
Uh-huh.
Thank heavens. It's working. It's actually working. Can you believe it?
That's good. That's good.
Oh, we're back up and working. All right.
All right.
Let's
do you
what
want
happens.
Huh?
Yeah, what's Billy's? Go ahead, give it to me real quick, and I'll phone him real quick. 775-233-3928.
What's that, 775?
233. 3928.
Let's see if we can get him on.
Son of a gun.
9746.
Your call has been forwarded to voice.
All right, stay with me.
Maybe it's using Jane's number.
Stay with me.
Right. Should be doing a couple of clips since we waited on those guys.
May I ask who's calling, please?
That's probably Billy. Is that he?
I'm trying to reach him now.
Okay. Maybe he's on Zoom.
Hi! I'm trying to reach you on Zoom. Forgive me, we just had the Comcast cable people leave. So we're back up and running on cable. And I opened up the Zoom room, but I don't see you there.
You don't see what?
I don't see you guys.
What about Russell? Is he there?
He's there.
How come he gave us a number to call, and I guess we don't have the right number.
Do you want to stay on the phone and I'll plug in, or how would you like to?
No, just you gotta plug in. That's 775.
Yes.
233.
Yeah.
925.
3925. Okay. All right. Done. I will. Okay. Done.
All the phones are ringing. Somebody should be home pretty soon
the
here.
Phones are going to go nuts. All right. Let's try this. Is this Billy?
Yeah, it is.
Fantastic. Hold on. Let me plug in with Dr. Russell. Here we go, Dr. Russell.
Yes, good afternoon.
All right, forgive us. We just had Comcast leave. It's been freezing here, and for some reason our line stopped working, and we had them out this morning, and they just left. So thank heavens they got it all working.
Well, that's good. Good.
They got it all working. Okay.
Everything's working now.
All right.
And we do have Dr. Russell with us.
Hey, Billy, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Now, the question is, nobody was on Zoom. Did you want to be on Zoom, or is this okay?
No, this is okay. Unless he just wanted to be on Zoom.
And Billy, how's this for you?
I'm fine.
Is it okay on the phone?
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, then let's have some fun. We're starting a bit late, so we're going to go right up to the end of the following second hour. And is everybody ready to have a great show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, let's do
well
it.
Then,
do it.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's have some fun.
Right.
I'm going to start your intro.
Okay.
Here we go. Have a great show. Your intro is starting now.
Thank you very much. This is BBS Radio. I'm Russ Johnson. We have Lights in the Night is the name of the program. So if you want to ever check it out, it's bbsradio.com/lightsinthenight. And then I also do a show on Blog Talk Radio, Lights in the Night. Anyway, and you can always go to ufobase211.com and look at some of the shows that we have put up. That's like baseball, usufobase211.com. And we want to start the program on saying, not only in addition to the media jumping all over this thing, saying that aliens and UFOs happen to be in our presence, but congressional hearings have been going on. So it's out there now. The jack is out of the box, it's to say it one way. The story is out on the table for the masses of people. I don't know how many people catch it.
The cat is out of the bag.
The cat is out of the bag. Okay, the cat is out of the bag. And the cat is not going back into the bag. We have with us a person who was in charge of Area 51. You heard that, Area 51, Groom's Lake, S4. But in charge of Groom's Lake, S4 and Area 51 for many, many years. So, Colonel, how are you doing today? Nice to have you on here. Zaria, how are you?
I'm fine.
Great, great, great. Listen, Fox News, other news stories out there, have you been keeping up with any of the congressional hearings on this about the,
Not really.
No, not really? Okay, all right. Well, let me just start out a minute here. Say, Fox News said it this way.
Trace, good morning. This extraordinary video and images of unidentified flying objects, or UFOs, were leaked to investigative reporter Jeremy Corbell and investigative reporter George Knapp. This night vision video purportedly shows three pyramid-shaped UFOs flying over the USS Russell off the coast of California in July of 2019. At one point, these UFOs reportedly hovered just 700 feet above the tail of the Navy destroyer, making, quote, extraordinary maneuvers. Now, Corbell says the unclassified video is part of a classified government report intended to educate officials about unidentified crafts flying over restricted airspace. These cell phone photos, taken by a FA-18 pilot in March of 2019, show three different unidentified aircrafts off the coast of Oceania, including two UFOs dubbed the Metallic Blimp and another called the Sphere. A Department of Defense spokesperson said, quote, I can confirm that the referenced photos and videos were taken by Navy personnel. The Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force has included these incidents in their ongoing examinations. However, the Pentagon was unwilling to confirm these three photos, which Corbell says came from the USS Omaha, showing a UFO diving into the ocean and disappearing.
That is an extraordinary piece of technology. Whoever is operating these technologies are far more advanced than anything we have in the U.S. arsenal, and that should be a warning sign. We need to find out the intent of the operators of these vehicles.
Well, the person that can help us with all of that, that as we finish the story, let's talk about that. Now, the Pentagon has now come forth with the disclosure, soft as it may be. And you have been around this industry, what, 50, 60, 70 years? When did you take over Area 51? When did you take command of that facility? What year?
That would have been back in the 70s.
In the 70s? Okay.
Yeah.
And you were there for about 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us what goes on in Area 51, if you may.
Area 51 is a it's an underground facility, and it's got 27 levels, and it also has a civilian population as well as military. It can house up to 350,000 people, both military and civilian. And so it was quite an interesting project when they put it together and created it. A few of the levels were already there, and the military just sort of ran into them when they were using the boring machine, and then found these tunnels. But the facility was under, for a long period of time, it was under military control. And here recently, not too long ago, it was taken away from the military, and it's now being controlled or guided by the what you call the. The Agartans are a race of people that are living in the Earth's crust. The crust of the Earth, of course, is 800 miles thick. Beyond the 800 miles of crust, you have an open area that's the inside of the Earth's crust, and that's where a population lives and thrives. They are called the Arianians and also the Lemurians. The Lemurians came in there after their continent was covered by ocean. And the Arianians were already there and they gave permission for the Lemurians to take up residence in there and to thrive and to evolve. And, of course, that was over 12,000 years ago. So,
okay.
And, of course, when we took up residence in there, because we were Lemuria, the continent of Lemuria was filled with water just a little less than 12,000 years ago.
Okay.
And that came from the Atlanteans that were shooting laser lights up into the stratum, causing the oceans to fall. Understand, the oceans were around the Earth, not on the Earth, way back when. And when the Atlanteans were shooting these lights up into the atmosphere, or into the stratum, punching holes in the stratum, it allowed the waters to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you came up with your global flood, if you will.
Right.
But
that goes back a couple of years now. It goes back like 12,000 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lemuria was a valley with plateaus. And Lemuria would have been the entire circumference of the Pacific Ocean.
I see.
The Pacific Ocean, at one point, was a valley with plateaus. And there was no water in Lemuria at that time. It was a lush valleys and then you also had the plateaus. The plateaus are areas like Hawaii.
Let me just, rather than get into that, that's really going back a distance. I just want to come and bring people up in a basic one-on-one session here that you were commander of Area 51. That's number one. What year did that happen, and why were you chosen to be commander of Area 51? And finally, what kind of clearance did you hold in order to have that position?
Crypto, top secret.
I see. So, who was president when you took over Area 51?
Who was president?
Yes.
Well, back in the 70s. So, who was president back in the 70s?
Okay. But even the president, whether it be Eisenhower, but he was in the 60s, and then Kennedy, of course, in 1962, and he was killed. And then after that, Richard Nixon, and on and on. But I'm just saying that they didn't have the clearance to get the information that you had, right?
Well, no, they didn't.
Okay.
Who chose
you?
That would have been my adopted father.
Yeah. Was he with Majestic 12 and those individuals that were named to look out for the materials of the Roswell crash of 1947 in Roosevelt? Truman took over from Roosevelt.
He wasn't with Majestic 12.
I see. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That was a totally separate organization.
But, the Majestic 12, from what I understand, is still in control and operating that facility of Area 51, S4, in Groom's Lake. Is that true?
They're in charge of S4.
Okay.
But they're not in charge. They're not in charge. No longer in charge.
Just so you know, I'm letting you know, you can go 2 hours, 2 hours. No extra cost for the second hour. This is on the station, so you can go 2 hours. No one's hearing me but you. Just letting you know.
Guardians, which live in the crust of your planet, they are a advanced race of beings, and they also live within the Earth's crust. They have a city known as Agartha in the Earth's crust. And then, so, but the Agartians are the ones that are, their domain is in the crust of your planet. Now, when you go beyond that, then you get into Hollow Earth. But we said we don't want to go into that. We want to stay within the
confines. No, I do want to touch upon the Hollow, because that's another construct. When you say that there are entities, there are bases, there are people functioning inside of Earth. Now, how is that to be? Is it a honeycomb? Is it the center of the Earth? Is it 800 miles deep?
No, understand, the center of the Earth is not a molten core.
Okay.
It's not. It's a central sun. It's about 600 miles across. It's a crystal central sun. And it shines out through polar openings. The Arctic Ocean, the Arctic, North Arctic area, and also the South Antarctica as well. You have the Southern Lights, and then you have the Northern Lights. Both of those lights are actually reflection of the central sun inside the planet that is reflecting off of ice crystals called crystalline. That creates a halo of light around the southern hemisphere of the planet and the northern hemisphere of the planet.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Arctic, I should say.
But so you are from the Hollow Earth? Have you been there?
I am. I was born there.
I see. So
now understand, in Hollow Earth, there is no time. There's no way to judge time in Hollow Earth, or to rate time. Because when you rate time, you're talking about night and day. Okay? The rotation of the Earth. Night and day is how you gauge your time understanding.
Yep.
In Hollow Earth, there is no night and day. It's a constant twilight. It's no nighttime at all.
Oh, I see. All right. Let me do this.
Because the central sun in the center of the Earth lights up the inner portion of the Earth's crust, and it is very accommodating for life.
Right, right.
So
let me get
that's
back.
That's why there is no time. There's no
I'm
time in Hollow Earth at all.
You say your father chose you to be commander of Area 51. Is that where we are? Not the president, not Congress, not the Senate.
Yes.
Of your father.
No. My adopted father, first he sent me to the Pentagon. I'm fresh out of officer school at Lackland Air Force Base. And then from there, I was sent to the Pentagon.
Uh-huh. Why would
initially,
you
I was I thought I was going to be going to Hawaii because I had a signed affidavit or letter stating I was going to go to Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
But that didn't happen. They said, "You know where you're going?" I said, "I'm going to Hawaii." "No, you're not. You're going to the Pentagon. You've been reassigned to the Pentagon."
Okay. Okay. May I ask this question? Why were you chosen to head up Area 51, or even to go to the Pentagon? Why?
My adopted father sent me there.
I see.
My adopted father was a multi-star general. Okay.
Right.
He was a general, and so he had pull. He had a lot of pull. And
uh-huh.
He just wanted me to be, sent to the Pentagon, which I was sent to the Pentagon. I was there for approximately 6 to 7 months. And at which time, while I was there, an officer walks in with two gentlemen in plain clothes, in suits, and they're arguing with the general, and he's saying, it's not done that way, gentlemen. It's not done that way. And the guy in the plain clothes looked at the general and said, it's happening. Do it. So he walks over to me and he says, Lieutenant, take off your bars. So I took off my bars. I said, am I being demoted? He said, no, you're being promoted. And he pinned on full bird colonel. I jumped several ranks at that moment, from lieutenant to an 06.
That's a big jump,
you know,
because usually, usually that takes about 30 years
you
for
have
some
to
people.
Go, you have to go through the chain of command. You have to go before your peers. You have to go before the board and all that.
Right.
I bypassed all of that.
I see.
And then I said, why am I being promoted to a full bird colonel? And he said, because where you're going, that is the required rank.
All right. Let me get
taking over a facility.
So what did you discover in the Area 51 facility? What was there when you got there? And what were your duties and responsibilities?
When I got to Area, well, first we went, you know, they flew us out to Las Vegas, to McCarran. And then from McCarran, they sent us over to Nellis Air Force Base. From Nellis Air Force Base, we boarded a turboprop aircraft, and they flew us to Area 51. It was only about a little less than an hour flight from Las Vegas to Area 51. And when we got off the plane, all the windows were blacked out. You couldn't see out. So we didn't know if it was night or day. But when we landed and got out of the aircraft, it was pitch black. And we were wondering, where are we? And they said, you're inside of a mountain.
Move ahead. How long were you at Area 51 as commander? How long? How many years?
Approximately 11 and a half years.
Okay, fine. Why did you leave Area 51 after 11 and a half years?
Because after I realized what was going on there, I didn't want any part of it.
Okay. Tell us what was going on that you didn't like.
I didn't like the back engineering of, they were working with, how do I put this? They were working with children, and they were working with extraterrestrials at the same time.
Okay. What extraterrestrials were there when you got there?
Creating hybrids.
Okay.
What?
So the hybrids, where are the hybrids today that were created when you were there? What happened to them?
They are still in Hollow Earth, except for the ones that they have put into society.
Okay. How can we distinguish the average person on planet Earth from the hybrids? How do we know the difference?
They look human.
Uh-huh.
But some of them have oversized eyes. Some of them have they got them where they can blend in with society.
I see.
And it's sort of like a camouflage, if you will.
Right.
When I realized what they were doing, I just didn't want any part of it, because when I got there to Area 51, I had to relieve the current commander, and when I walked into the room where he was at, he was just sitting in a chair and shaking all over, trembling. And I asked him what was wrong, and he said, "You'll find out." And then, of course, they escorted him off the premises under armed guard. So when I was there and I was introduced to the facility, and they introduced me to the extraterrestrials that were housed there, it was so mind-blowing, I guess that's the best way to put it, mind-blowing as far as the different species that were there.
Okay, what species were there? Were the grays, the reptilians, the nordics, the tall whites, the blue avians? What species were there?
You had, well, you've named a few of them already. You also had the insectoids. You had the arachnians.
Okay.
Several different species, but they all spoke with telepathy. Their mouths never moved. And they were speaking mind-to-mind communications. So they didn't talk that like we would talk. They would communicate from, you know, their thoughts to your thoughts.
Right.
And it was quite interesting about that. But, and of course, all the ones that were there were very benevolent beings.
I see.
There was no malevolent beings at all. Only benevolent beings.
Okay. So you were saying, like, you know, we know Stephen Greer. You know Stephen Greer, right?
Yeah, I know of him, yes.
Yeah, he's been out there about 35 years. Previously as an ER physician in charge of the facility of hospitals, but stepped away in about 1993 and decided that he was going to start doing his investigative work on UFOs and aliens and all the cover-up of that nature. So when you came out of Area 51 after 11 years, it is said that you started talking about some of the things that you had seen. Just like, did you know Bob Lazar?
I met him.
Came out in 79 or so.
I met the man.
Okay.
Yeah, I met the man. He was very, for his understanding, he was quite an intelligent being. And of course, he was. They had him working on different types of engines as well.
Right.
But as far as he didn't have access to Area 51 itself.
Oh, I see. I see.
He was only an S4.
Okay. How about John Lear? I bring that name up. How about John Lear and some of his pronouncements of what was happening in Area 51?
I met him too.
Okay. So he has credibility.
Did
he meet the alien forces that you were in contact with? Some of the Greys or Reptilians or the, you know, the Nordics or whatever, or whomever, the Palladians who were there. Did he meet any of those?
Did he meet any of them?
Yes.
No. He had no access. He had no access to aliens.
Okay. But you did.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In addition to
also, a lot of the ships that you see in the skies, the triangle ships, those are not extraterrestrial.
What are they?
They are back-engineered aircraft.
I see.
They're back-engineered.
From what?
And
back-engineered from what?
From Roswell ships and other downed craft.
Okay.
But the triangle-shaped craft is a man-made structure, man-made craft.
Okay. Let's fly.
Materials were always in discs and tubes and what's called Tic Tacs. Different types, different shapes, but not the triangle. Triangle ships were definitely back engineered. The technology, the propulsion, was taken from the downed vessels that were at Roswell and at Sunrise, Texas, and other places. But the shape of the ships were adopted by the military Air Force. Mm-hmm. Why they chose to make them triangle, I don't know, but. All those aircraft are not extraterrestrial.
Right. So
at all.
Okay. When I listen to Gaia or Cosmic Connections and David Wilcock or Corey Good or even George Norrie, they talk about the Secret Space Force. Are you familiar with the Secret Space Force?
Secret Space Program.
Program, yes. The
Secret Space Program.
Yes. So what?
Yes.
How are they funded? To your knowledge and ability, how are they funded? The Secret Space Program. How is it funded?
Through tax dollars.
I see. Okay.
All the taxes that you guys pay your income tax to. You know, a lot of it went to the different projects. Also, remember the IRS. Was owned by the Crown of England. It was not an American company.
The IRS is a private organization, right?
Yeah, private organization.
Private. Yeah, that was started in 1913.
Privately owned.
Yeah.
It was privately owned, but it was also owned by the Crown of England.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So a lot of monies are being funneled from the IRS into the Secret Space Program, you are saying. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay. All right. Now, the disclosure recently...
Now,
go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Let me give you a little bit of education about Mars, the planet Mars. Mars has... people from the Earth inside of Mars, not on the outside, but inside. The Space Force or the Space Program would send Earth people to Mars, and they would be inside the planet, not on the surface. However, understand, the surface of Mars is not, photoshopped, that's the best way to put it. They're only showing you pictures of Mars where it's desolate, with no signs of life. Well, that's wrong. Also, the atmosphere on Mars is blue sky.
So
they took pictures on one segment. This is why a lot of the pictures are out of sequence, that they took pictures of the surface of Mars. And a lot of the pictures are out of sync. The ones that are out of sync are pictures that show things on Mars that they didn't want the public to know.
I see.
They took a picture of a B-25 bomber sitting on the surface of Mars. How did it get there?
That's a good question. It didn't fly there.
Yeah, very good question. No, it didn't.
Okay.
If you were standing on the surface of Mars, you could
Okay. This now Elon Musk, he seems to be wanting to go in that direction. Has he been there? Or does he know about all of this that you know about Mars atmospheric conditions? Is he apprised?
He's going to be surprised when he gets there.
Uh-huh.
But no, he's going to see the real surface of Mars.
Right.
He's going to see the forests that are on Mars. He's going to see the lakes that are on Mars. He's going to see the beauty, the tropical type of surface, contrary to what they are showing the people.
Okay.
Mars has a beautiful surface. It is not desolate. It is not red. It is not orange. It has foliage on the surface of Mars.
Okay. Can we say that the secret space force that's controlled and operated by the Majestic 12 or Salian government or the people in charge of that or the down aircraft, can you say that they have been to Mars and they have spaceships on Mars?
They've had a space station in orbit around Mars ever since 1957.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a joint Soviet, American, Chinese, and British.
I see.
House,
okay.
Space station.
On Mars.
No, and around it, not on it.
Well, they say, well, some reports have said that hundreds of thousands of people live on Mars.
Not on Mars, in Mars.
Oh, in Mars. Okay. Okay.
Not on it.
Okay.
But in it.
In it, okay.
Because all planets are hollow. All planets have a population living inside them.
Okay. Let's go to the moon. How about the moon? Can you describe the moon for us? Some people say that's an observatory.
The moon is an artificial body.
Okay. Okay. That was put there by whom?
It's actually a starship.
Okay. Okay. Who controls that?
At one time you had two moons.
I'm sorry?
One of them was a natural satellite, the other one was a ship.
Okay. Who is in control
the satellite was destroyed.
Here's a question. Who is in control of the moon? Who occupies the moon?
Who occupies the moon?
Yes.
Oh. Well, not people from Earth, that's for sure.
Okay. But who?
They are Pleiadian.
Okay.
Arcturian.
Okay.
And other races. But
right.
There are bases on the dark side of the moon.
I see. And that's an observatory.
What?
The moon is an observatory.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Okay.
So, like I said, you know, you did have at one time you had a natural moon, which was in the sky, and then after it was destroyed, then of course the starship moon was put into place.
Okay, and
so,
that's about 50,000 years ago.
Something like that.
Okay, listen. Since this is the basic kind of conversation that we're having,
yes,
and I just want to get back to a couple of things that do you know anything about Philip Corsico? Corsico. He was also a colonel, army colonel, and he was in charge of the artifacts of the Downing of Roswell. Yeah, Corso, yes.
You talking about Corso?
Yeah, Corso, yes. You knew him?
No.
Okay. He did write a book before he left. It's called The Day After Roswell.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. And I know for the people who are listening, I just wanted you to know that
I understand Roswell. Roswell was, there was only a portion of the ship that was on the Brazel Ranch.
Okay.
The actual full embodiment of the craft came down in the Lincoln National Forest in New Mexico. It was not, it was, so the rest of the craft came down there. Only a portion of it was torn off when it was struck by lightning and when the force field was off and caused it to tear off a good portion of the ship.
Okay.
But the actual ship came down in Lincoln National Forest.
I see. So why did the government decide that it would not tell? Well, the first day it said we found the craft from out of space, but then they changed the story and said it was a weather balloon. Why was that?
Of course.
Sir?
Of course. Yeah, they said it was a weather balloon. But it wasn't a weather balloon.
Right. But why did they change the story?
Because they didn't want to panic the public.
Okay. All right. So how about the public today, now that we've had soft release by the Pentagon, and then Leslie Kean has written a whole book called By Generals and Pilots and Government Officials. That's an excellent book that people should pick up. And it's a very well-written report analysis she did some years ago, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials on the Record, where they say she proved, in fact, in her research as an award-winning journalist, that the UFOs are real. And then she did a expose in the New York Times of December of 2017, which went around the world. Now, so the information is out there. Now, as we look at the soft disclosure by the Pentagon and some of the whistleblowers and the congressional hearings that are going on now, how do you think people can handle the truth of all of this now and nowadays?
Well, I believe they can handle it.
Okay.
I think, and more so, more so now than before, because there's so much information coming out that are showing definite proof of the reality of extraterrestrial craft. The truth of it is this, that we're not alone on this planet.
I see.
Okay. This planet is not the only planet in the Milky Way galaxy that has life on it. And every planet has life within it. There's life everywhere. But it's not evident to the Earth or the inhabitants of the Earth, because a lot of the planets have what you call holograms that creates a different type readings from the satellites that are sent to those prospective planets. They send back data stating that it's an inhospitable planet. When in reality, it's not an inhospitable planet. But understand, a culture that relies strictly on mechanical devices or mechanical satellites or probes They can easily be manipulated, I assure you. Mm-hmm. And the people on those prospective planets like Venus and Mars and Uranus and Neptune, Saturn, all of them are showing inhospitable conditions because they don't want you there.
I see. I see.
Obviously. Just like your son.
Uh-huh.
Just like your son is not a star. Your son is a planet. And the name of the planet is called Helios.
I see.
What you see, what NASA shows you, is a ball of fire.
Right.
But in reality, the sun is not hot. It's cold fusion.
You can
walk on the surface of the sun.
I see. Okay. Okay.
If you were to fly there, you could land on it. You could walk on it. And all of these solar flares and fire appearance of the sun is like that because the people, the shining ones, don't want you there. So
why?
That's why they have put on, that's why they have given the illusion that the sun is a fiery ball.
Okay. Why don't they want us there is the question.
Because you're not high enough in your consciousness to coexist with them.
Okay. But isn't that supposed to be happening? And I hate to skip around, but isn't that supposed to be happening pretty soon here on Earth, called ascension? Is that going to happen?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
When you reach your ascension, you'll be able to go wherever you want, just you thought.
I see. Have you seen the documentary called The Lost Century by Dr. Stephen Greer? He talks about that a lot. He says the speed of light is too slow to go to 196,000 miles a second. That's too slow. You have to go by the speed of thought, which is 10 times the amount of speed or better. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you there.
No, go ahead. You were talking about the speed of thought.
Yeah, speed of thought is much faster than the speed of light.
I see. Einstein didn't know that, did he?
Einstein
didn't know that, did he, when he was here?
No.
Okay. But as a commander of Area 51...
The speed of thought is how you traverse, you know, light years in a very short period of time.
Right. And if people want to see the discussion of that...
You can create your world.
Okay.
You have done that.
Okay.
But
yeah, I'm going to stay on that for
just... the world that you desire.
Right. Before people who are catching up with all of this, which is basically, I call this show Basics 100 or Basics 101, UFO Alien Discoveries. So I'm just dealing with the basic things. But so with the speed of thought, then you can traverse the universe. You can be an intergalactic traveler. Is that right?
That's true.
Okay. Now,
but first you have to drop the concept of the third density.
Okay. How do we get rid of that?
What you would term the third dimension.
Okay. How do we get rid of that?
You need to drop that concept and accept the concept of fifth density.
Wow. So how can we handle going from the third density to the fifth density. You don't think people, most people can't handle that, do you think?
That's why when the galactics give the galactic disclosure, all of these questions concerning the shift between third density to fifth density will be explained at that time by your mentors that
I
are going to be coming onto the Earth.
Are they coming
onto
the Earth?
They will explain how, yes, they are.
Yeah, because some people say, you know, you have the reptilians, the grays, the Nordics, the blue avians, the tall whites, et cetera, et cetera, but, the insectoid. But some people say that right now, because of this supposed ascension from third to fourth or fifth density, that there are about 200 different species of aliens coming here to watch over that and to observe that. What number would you say that? Is that true?
In the past, you had what was called an incident that took place, a Russian meteor. Remember that way back? A few years back. That was actually an asteroid. It was not a meteor. And the circumference of that meteor, that asteroid, was actually, in reality, 150 miles in diameter.
Wow.
Had that hit the Earth, we wouldn't be talking right now.
I see.
My father's ship was dispatched to defense of the asteroid.
I see.
And my father's ship caught up with the asteroid that was coming in toward the Earth. He caught up with it. He dematerialized his craft. He rematerialized his craft inside of the asteroid, causing it to implode. And then he exited out the front. And that was showed pictures on YouTube. It shows an object going through the tail, disappearing and reappearing out the front, and the rest of it exploded, imploded.
Wow.
That was an outward sign for you guys to know that your planet is protected by the Galactic Federation.
Okay. There's a book out by Michael Seller, talks about gathering. I don't have the specific title in front of me, but it's dealing with it. I have it here, though. But it's dealing with the Galactic Federation, and they talk about the meetings that they are holding on an ongoing basis to make decisions about who will come to the planet, why, and the rules and laws of interfering with
the ultimate decision is with Source. I'm not talking about Q. I'm talking about Source.
Okay. But who is Source?
Okay. Source is the creator of the entire universe.
Okay. As commander, let me ask you, as commander of Area 51 at one point, did you have any contact with Source?
You mean, did I ever meet Source?
Yes, sir. Yes,
no.
Ma'am. No.
No,
okay.
I didn't. No, I did not.
Oh, right. But most people have said it's difficult. That's a difficult meeting to be held, right, with Source.
Yes.
But how about Q? Q is in that arena somewhere, is he? Is he not?
Q was in Area 51.
Okay.
In an embodiment. But not a human embodiment. He was what would be termed as a gray being, extraterrestrial, Zeta Reticulum.
Okay.
And he was my flight instructor. He was also flight instructor.
I see.
He taught me how to fly the extraterrestrial craft.
I see. Which is controlled from what I understand. About by mind concentration, mind power.
Yes, it is.
Is that okay? How about when you look at Hal Puthoff and Engel Swan and some of those other guys during the 60s who developed the ability to look into the past, look into the future, look into the present, look into the people's secret cabins, if you will, by remote viewing.
You're talking about remote, viewing?
Yes, yes.
Well, you also have, there's two types of remote viewing. One is your one that your government has been messing with, but you also have one called respite. Respite is mind travel.
I see.
Mind travel is where you can put your mind into a state where it will travel, not just in space, but also in time. And you can travel through your mind through different parts of history or space and time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Gary Adams and Bonnie, I forgot what her last name is.
Who?
They were Gary and Bonnie.
Oh, Betty and Bonnie Hill?
No.
No?
Not Betty and Bonnie Hill, no.
Okay.
Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, and Bonnie.
Jerry Hicks?
No, not Jerry Hicks.
Okay.
Adams. Jerry Adams and Bonnie, I forgot what her last name is. Anyway.
Uh-huh.
They wrote the book called Through the Eyes of a Traveler.
I see.
You remember that book?
No, I don't. No, Through the Eyes of a Traveler, I should get it. Give us the essence of the book, Through the Minds of a Traveler.
It teaches you how to travel through your mind through time and in past, present, and future.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
You are literally traveling through your mind into events of the past and events of the future.
Is that similar to OBE?
It's called respite.
Respite. Okay.
What?
I was just asking, is that similar to the people who have out-of-body experiences?
No.
Okay.
It's not yet.
Okay.
No,
okay.
It's called Through the Eyes of a Trap. Look it up on.
I'll get
Google.
That respite. Okay.
Just put Through the Eyes of a Traveler, or you can go to Amazon. And you can buy the book if you want.
Okay.
I believe it's Jerry. I know his first name is Jerry, and of course her name is Bonnie.
You have the title.
I forgot what
the
last
name of a traveler. I'll Google that up. And see what comes up.
Yeah,
okay.
To the eyes of a traveler.
Through the eyes of a traveler. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And they teach you how to control your mind to the point where you can travel in space and time.
Okay. Is that similar to out of body experiences that people are having? No. Okay. All right.
No, it's not.
I mean, there's so many broad esoteric concepts out there. I mean, really serious stuff coming down the pike. I mean, a lot of it's real heavy. Because you always say to me that there's no such thing as death. And the only thing we could discussing is ascension with the body or without the body. But you say that all the time.
That's correct.
Okay, fine. But how can we say that when we were trained here in the schools and the colleges at the university levels and in the Catholic Church or Episcopal Methodist churches that there's heaven and there's hell and that's it? They don't say anything about eternal life.
Well, you know where that concept came from, right?
Where?
The Anunnaki.
Oh. Okay. They created that?
The Anunnaki are the ones that created religion.
I see. Yeah, Jillian talked about that.
The Anunnaki created religion so the people had something to worship.
I see.
The religion that brought about Satan and the devil and demons, that all came from the early church known as the Catholic Church. They created Satan to control their patrons through fear. And they use that concept of demon possession and Satanism, things of this nature,
so,
to control their people.
All right, so the messages we're getting
from the Catholic Church is the most corrupt religion there is.
Wow, that's a big statement.
Yeah, it's a very bold statement, and I know I can say it because I know it's true. They are the ones that created Satan.
I see.
It was derived from the planet Saturn. It was Saturn, Seder, Satan, Satan.
I see.
Derived from the planet Saturn. But the devil or Satan is a thought form and nothing more. There is no such thing as the devil.
I see. So they made it up so that people will be controlled by something, rather than
through fear.
Yeah.
See, fear is a destroyer.
I see.
Fear is a destroyer of your body or your faith or whatever. Because of fear, so many things have been taken from the population of Earth through fear. If you were to do away with fear, you would be able to, as an example, you would be able to jump in the ocean, swim underwater without the use of tanks. But the reason you can't do it is because you've got all that fear in you.
It's been
programmed into you.
So look, for those people who are listening, let me just say that this is BBS Radio. And the program here,
yes,
I'm doing it, it's Light to the Night, and I'm with Zaria, previously Colonel Billy Woodard of Area 51 for 11 years as Commander Colonel. And I want to get back, Colonel, in a few minutes and ask you some other questions, but here's a preacher talking about what you were talking about, fear, and as a controlling element in the church.
Realized. While there is life, there is hope. There are many ambitious experiments planned for the future. We will map the positions of billions of galaxies.
No,
I'm not worth your McDonald's money.
Come on!
I'm not worth your Red Lobster money.
Come on.
I ain't worth your St. John knit. Y'all can't afford it no how. I ain't worth y'all Louis Vuitton. I ain't worth your Prada.
Come on.
I'm not worth your Gucci.
Come on.
Mother, I'm saying this, and I promise you, Deacon, it's not with respect to want. I'm saying it because I want you to understand just what God is saying. Even found out that Movado, you can buy a Movado watch in Sam's.
Yes, you can.
And y'all know I asked for one last year. Here it is the whole way in August. I still ain't got it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Let me kick down the door and talk to my cheap sons and daughters. See, that's how I know you still poor, broke, busted, and disgusted, because of how you've been honoring me.
Okay, so that's the minister in the pulpit saying, if you're not going to give me your money so I can have my Rolls Royce, so I can have my chicken dinners and Cadillacs.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, but people believe that.
Absolutely. I know they do. Billy Graham, when he had his ministry, people would give him money all the time.
I happy to.
And
so
and you're
saying it's
about,
a record.
I'll tell you something else. I met Anton LaVey. Anton LaVey was the author of the Satanic Bible.
I see.
I asked him a question one day. I said, "Does Satan exist?" And he says, "No, but the money's great."
I see. He admitted that to you.
See. Yeah, he admitted it to me. He says,
wow.
No, Satan is not real. But the money that comes from the Patreons is very good. And that's how they supported themselves, their lavish lifestyles.
Well, let me take another 30 seconds. When you talk about looking at a Fred Price or Roberts, or you know, and you just mentioned that the Henning and all that. But listen to this minister who said he demanded that the church raise money so that he could have a jet to fly around in. That's Crespo Dollar. Listen to what he's talking about.
10 most expensive things owned by Crespo Dollar. Crespo Dollar, a senior pastor and founder of the famous World Changers non-denominational church located in Fulton, Georgia, has an estimated net worth of $27 million. Crespo Dollar International Covenant Association, Arrow Records, and the Crespo Dollar Ministries are jointly overseen by the popular TV evangelist and his wife. The overall cash revenue received in his church is about $69 million. Over the years, his congregation has grown in leaps and bounds.
And then you have T.J. Jakes and the rest of them, you know, and Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
So, hey, what did we? What, listen,
it's all about money.
Okay.
It's all about money.
Okay, Colonel. Why don't you preach and get some of that money?
Because I don't believe in it.
Okay.
I don't believe in lying to people. Just to get money.
I see. Okay.
I don't believe in, I heal people over the phone. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I've been told by a lot of other people I should charge for my ability, my healing ability, so I can, you know, sustain myself.
Sure.
I don't believe that. I believe that the health of people are more important than the almighty dollar.
I see. But
whenever I heal people, at the end, I always say, I tell them, I will accept a love gift from you, but I will not set an amount.
I see.
It whatever they feel is what they want to give, that's fine. I don't request a certain amount or anything, simply because healing is free. Everybody
right.
has the ability to heal, but they don't know it.
Yeah, but how do you teach people to heal? But Jesus says in John 14:12, all the things I can do,
Yeshua.
You can do, yes, Yeshua, okay. That you
Yeshua.
Can do it more. All right. Okay.
Now,
but why?
Let's go there. Okay. I'm going to tell you about this.
Okay.
In the King James Bible, it says, "Marvel not what I do, for greater shall you do if you only believe in my name." However, the "in my name" is not the words of Yeshua. That is the words of King James. When King James had the Bible to be written, he had to have his little part in there as well. His little part was, if you only believe in my name. That was added into the Bible, supposedly saying that was the words of Jesus or Yeshua. And it's not.
I see.
In reality, he said, marvel not what I do, for greater shall you do if you only know that you can. Again, that's telling you that you're a healer. Every man, woman, and child on this planet is a healer. And
okay.
I can prove it.
Well, let's take a minute to... Most people don't even believe in themselves. They have very little self-image, self-esteem. And as if William Tompkins, who just left us, he worked with the Palladians and other kind of greys and entities back from 1938, 1940, and helped develop these super spacecraft that are going, the secret space force, that going from planet to planet to planet, that Linda Newton Howell has indicated there are three major ones that are out there. But anyway, we'll get to that. But I'm just saying, how do you get people to believe that they have healing power and that they are, for lack of a word, invincible, that they have this life, but they can come back and live another life and another life and another life, that they don't die.
No, you're talking about reincarnation. I'm not talking about reincarnation.
Okay.
Every man, woman, and child on this planet is immortal.
Okay.
Okay.
You believe that, but we haven't been taught that.
I know it.
Well, how do you know that?
Understand. I'll tell you how I know that. Because it said so in the Old Testament. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, it says the following. God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and with our powers and abilities. What does that tell you? It tells you that you are gods and goddesses. And that's just the way it is.
Uh-huh.
You also, in the book of Matthew, or in the New Testament, Jesus is always talking about, marvel not what I do, for greater shall you do if you only know you can. Again, he's telling you that you can do it. You have to know you can do it. If you know you can do it, and you exercise that knowingness, you will heal other people. You will heal yourself. You don't need to go to doctors. You don't need to go to a hospital. You have the ability to heal yourself, just like Yeshua did when he walked the planet.
Okay. Yeshua, was he an alien? Did he come from another planet here to help us?
Yeshua is Jesus.
Okay. Now,
in the Hebrew language, there's no J's. It comes out as Yeshua, not Jesus. It's Yeshua.
Right.
So
right.
Yeshua, when he talked to the disciples, he says, marvel not what I do, for greater shall you do if you only know you can. Again, he's telling you that they have the power to heal. And he sent them out two by two to do just that. And they did.
Right.
And
okay.
And how they did it was very simple. They reminded the people whom they were ministering to that they have the power to heal as well. So not only did they heal people, but the people that they healed were able to go out and heal people too.
Okay.
Even in this modern day and age, you have the ability within you to heal others. You can take away their suffering. All you have to know is that you can do it.
Okay. So let me do this. Let's be on that just a bit. The Dalai Lama, he has a book out that he put out recently. And listen, I just want to play 1 minute of that and have you comment. And this is what he says is the essence of why we are here, if you will.
from His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Beyond Religion, Ethics for a Whole World.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Introduction.
Is that still too loud?
I am an old man now. I was born in 1935 in a small village in northeastern Tibet. For reasons beyond my control, I have lived most of my adult life as a stateless refugee in India, which has been my second home for over 50 years. I often joke that I am India's longest staying guest. In common with other people of my age, I have witnessed many of the dramatic events that have shaped the world we live in. Since the late 1960s, I have also traveled a great deal and had the honor to meet people from many different backgrounds, not just presidents and prime ministers, kings and queens, and leaders from all the world's great religious traditions, but also a great number of ordinary people from all walks of life. Looking back over the past decades, I find many reasons to rejoice. Through advances in medical science, deadly diseases have been eradicated. Millions of people have been lifted from poverty and have gained access to modern education and health care. We have a universal declaration of human rights, and awareness of the importance of such rights has grown tremendously. As a result, the ideals of freedom and democracy have spread around the world, and there is increasing recognition of the oneness of humanity.
So you said one time I talked with you, you said that number one, no such thing as death, and that we will ascend, and that we have the capacity and the ability to heal ourselves and to ascend and come back again if we want to. What would you tell humanity today with all the changes that are taking place, all the conflicts that are with Ukraine and the Palestinian-Israeli issue, and people confused about who they are and why they are here? What is your message to the people after all these many years? What would you tell them?
Just know that you're gods and goddesses. Know that you're healers. Know that you have this power within you. And I can show you through demonstration how you have this power within you. Anybody has it, but you've never been taught it because they don't want you to know it.
Right, true.
Your governments instituted mandatory inoculations so they could dumb you down when you were kids, so you wouldn't have the full capacity of healing that you were born with.
I see.
They knew, the government knew that you had these powers, but they wanted to dumb you down so they could continue, so they'd be able to control you at a future time. Understand, everybody walking this planet is a healer. That's just the way it is. You can, you have the power within you. If you fully know it, you have the power to raise the recently deceased people.
Well, that's a heavy statement. That's a heavy statement. That's a heavy statement.
Yeah, it is. But it's fact.
Okay.
And it's been proven scientifically that they can do that.
Yeah, how do you prove that scientifically? I mean, I hate it. I shouldn't go down
this
highway.
Well, the scientists, they prove that you can... You can bring the recently deceased back to life. They've done it.
Wow. Okay.
But
listen.
Still, and other people, and the common folk, all of them have the ability, but they've been so indoctrinated through education and through religion to think that they're limited and they can't do it. But in reality, you are limitless. The only limitations you have are the ones you place upon yourself.
That's a lot of programming that we have to overcome through the churches, through the colleges, and universities.
You can't remove a program. You have to program over it.
Oh, okay.
That's why when I tell people, well, when you tell people, when you work with people about healing, so as an example, you have, say you have someone who has cancer, okay? They have cancer. Why do they have cancer? Because they were told they have cancer by the doctor.
I see.
And they accepted that. They accepted the diagnosis, but therefore, they've got the cancer. But how? I'll give you an example of a person that went to his colleagues at a university, and he told them, he says, I'm going to contract the AIDS virus. You know, I'm going to do it myself. She thought, through the power of the mind, power of suggestion. They laughed at him. He came back 2 weeks later, and they had him. They checked him out. He was full-blown AIDS. He came back 2 weeks later. They had. He asked them to check him out. He was AIDS-free.
Wow. Okay.
That's how powerful you are. That's how powerful everyone walking this planet is. That's why you don't need doctors. You don't need hospitals because you are the healer.
Okay. Do you know anything about Joe Dispenza? Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza? You may not know, but he teaches that. But that's all right. That's how we won't go there. You know, I just thought that up when you, brought that up. Okay.
And you can think yourself sick, and you can also think yourself as being healed.
Yeah, but how about how about when we talk about the books of power of positive thinking? You can look at Earl Nightingale. You can look at Jim Rohn. You can look at Les Brown. They all teach that same thing that you, what the mind can conceive and believe, you can achieve. I mean, it says in the Bible, right? So you believe in the power of the mind. Is that what you were saying?
Of course.
Okay. All right.
Also, another thing is, about when it comes to the mind, most of the people are under the impression that their mind is located between their ears in the cranium of the skull.
Right.
And that's not right. That's not
okay.
True.
Where's the mind?
Your thinking, processing mind is in your heart.
Oh, okay. Okay. Whatsoever you believe.
I can give you an example of that.
Okay,
go ahead. People that have gotten what you call, they have gotten what you call heart transplant from a donor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they received the heart from a donor. But then they also took on afterwards, they had the ability to play a piano, never touched it. The ability to be a perfect martial artist. Martial arts.
Sure.
And just like Bruce Lee. And they've never studied. Or they played a violin. Or whatever. They had these certain abilities that they didn't have before they got the new heart.
What is your website?
So what happened was, when they get the heart, get a new heart, you're getting the mind of that donor. Understand?
Yep.
You're getting the mind of that donor. You are taking on the characteristics of that donor.
Okay. For people who want to follow the things that you've been teaching for the past 20, 30 years or more. What is your website?
ZoraofHollowEarth.com.
And ZoraofHollowEarth.com. That's Z-O-R-R-O?
Z-A-R-R-O. Zora. Z-A-R-R-A. Zora. Of Hollow Earth.
Okay, .com. Okay, good. Because you do have a lot of information there. Let me step back. I'm going back to the basics of this, because your concepts of changing people, I think it's going to be a long time coming before the majority of the people on planet Earth really have that kind of self-esteem and self-image to be able to say that they want to cure themselves by using their own mind power and to believe that they are immortal and that they will ascend.
No, not believe. Don't use the term believe. You don't use the word believe. The word believe is a constant seeking. There's no end to believe. But if you say, I know it, that finishes it right there.
I see.
You know you can heal.
So the knowing.
I know that I'm healed.
Right. Okay.
So.
Okay.
And of course, then you all have the problem of what's called the law of attraction. The law of attraction states that whatever you think, you create.
Sure.
Now, when you get healed by a healer, and they say at the end of it, you're healed and you know it, and the ones that are getting the healing, they say, I'm healed and I know it. That's when the healing takes place. But after that, once they're healed, fully healed, and verified that they're healed, then they start listening to their peers or to their colleagues or to their friends and family. And the friends and family start telling them, oh, you look terrible. Oh, you weren't healed. And they accept that. They bring it right back into them.
I see.
That's how powerful the law of attraction is. But in reality, when I work with people and to heal them over the phone, at the very end of it, I always tell them, I'm healed of this and I know it.
Okay. So
when they say I know it, that's when they're healed.
Right. When people go to the website, they can get the information to call you and to have that conversation with you. Is that right? Is that possible?
Sure.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay. Hey, listen, when I talked to you before, and we were talking about, what has transpired in the past, I'm going back to 1947 when you had said something about Adam Bird. Could you give us that information? That most people don't believe or don't know that Adam Bird was sent to Antarctica with
Richard Evelyn Byrd.
Okay.
Richard Evelyn Byrd, he was an admiral in the Navy. He was also an Arctic explorer.
Right.
And he was sent to Antarctica in an operation with Operation High Jump. And when he was there, through the process of his expedition, they ran into trouble down there.
Okay,
and
what happened?
They were confronted by aero ships that were could outmaneuver their planes with no problem at all.
Uh huh.
And those aero ships, they had a swastika on them.
I see.
They were Nazi aeroships.
So it is said by
they ran into a conflict with them.
Yeah.
And then they had to shorten the operation and retreat.
Yeah. I have a statement here.
Then Admiral Byrd was sent to Washington. He was sent back to Washington, and then he was sent north to Arctic Base, Alaska, to go on an expedition up there for an anomaly that was up in the Arctic region. And when he went up there and flew his aircraft up there, he came in contact with the entrance that goes into Hollow Earth. He flew into that entrance.
Uh-huh.
And he made contact with the population inside, or they made contact with him. The flying vessels, saucers, that intercepted his aircraft, and they seized it with the tractor beams, and they lowered it down onto the landing port in Hollow Earth at the city of Eden, and met with the council of 12 in Hollow Earth. And they gave him a message to get back to the world, a threefold message. The first part was the existence of the population inside. The second part was medical. He was given a whole set of vials for all the diseases on planet Earth at that time.
Okay, what happened to the vials?
There were cures for all the diseases. What happened to those? The government took them over and classified them as top secret and put them away. And they're located in the I forgot the institute up in Washington, but Smithsonian Institute, and they were put on a shelf and locked away.
I see.
By your government. And the third part of the message was a warning to your governments about the use of atomic energy.
Okay.
They told them to cease and desist from using atomic energy because of the dire consequences of it.
So it is said by some of those people in the Pentagon, those congressional hearings of late, that there have been several incidents, if you will, of UFOs going over those silos and shutting them down. Have you heard about that?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Okay.
We have ships in your atmosphere right now, and they're stationed over all major silos globally.
Uh-huh.
And they were not going to allow you to decimate the planet. Okay?
So
there will never, ever be a nuclear war, ever, because it can't be allowed.
Well, Putin
because of the consequences of that, the consequences of that would be this. If it was to be allowed for you to have a nuclear war, the fallout would find its way into Hollow Earth over time, and that can't be allowed.
I see.
So that's why they will shut down all your missiles, and they have removed all of the warheads in the nuclear suppositories globally. They have taken all the warheads out of their storage facilities.
Right.
They're gone. They have no nuclear capability to create a nuclear holocaust on the planet.
So
it will not be allowed.
So even though Putin kind of indicated that he may use atomic energy weapons if he were to think about losing the Ukraine war,
good luck trying to do that.
Let's talk about good luck trying to do that. When you were head of Area 51 and you came away and you started being a whistleblower, I guess that's a good term, you started telling the story that you were not supposed to tell. Now, back in the day, 30 years ago, most whistleblowers, they would get rid of them. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, fine. How did you escape that inevitable?
Very simple.
How?
It's very simple. I'll tell you how. When I got out of when I got out of service, and I was living up in Mount Shasta, California, some SUV pulled up to in my driveway, and three people got out, came up to my door, knocked on my door, and asked me if they could come in, and I said, sure, come on in. So they came in, they sat down in my living room, and they started telling me that I must stop, cease and desist, from talking about Area 51. And I said, I'm going to continue talking about Area 51 because the public has the right to know. And they said, if you do not stop, we are prepared to take your life. And I said, go ahead and try. A pistol was pointed at my nose, and he pulled the trigger, and nothing happened.
Wow.
One of the others did the same thing, pointed a pistol at me, they pulled the trigger, and nothing happened.
Well, how could that
and
be?
And I looked at him, and I said, you cannot hurt me, because I'm protected. And they said, how's that? I said, come out on the front porch, and I'll show you why I'm protected.
Uh-huh.
We went outside on the porch. And I said, look up. They looked up, and there was a lenticular cloud above my house. And that lenticular cloud vanished, and there's a ship sitting there. I looked at them, and I said, that's why I'm not worried about you people. You can't hurt me.
Wow.
You can't kill me. You can't get rid of me because I'm protected by the Galactic Federation.
I see. So because
I told them to put the pistol in the air. I told them to put the pistol in the air and fire it. They pointed the pistols in the air, and they pulled the trigger, and it discharged. They immediately pointed at me, pulled the trigger, and nothing happened.
Wow.
So am
that's
I afraid
why
of the government? No, I'm not.
Uh-huh. But, okay, so they can't destroy you. You only can be... You know, okay, all right. But they can take action and against you in some other ways. Can they not?
They can make my life miserable, and they did. They took away my pension.
Oh.
They took away my military pension.
They did?
I was making, as a colonel, I was making $5,000 a month.
And they took that?
And they took that away from me. Oh, yeah.
Wow. So if you had to do all over again, would you do the same thing?
Yes.
In hindsight? Okay. All right. Listen, look. Since we're dealing with... Okay. All right. How about President Dwight Eisenhower? They said that he, at one point, information about Area 51, and he was denied that information. And as a former general and commander of the fighting forces, he threatened to send the First Army to invade Area 51 and Dreamland and Groom's Lake. And he said that I'll send a representative to investigate the base. And Richard Dolan made the trip and reported back to him that there were aliens there and spaceships and on and on and on. And so, but they still didn't allow him, how can I say, to get into the inner sanctum of all the back engineering with Lockheed and all the other places, command secrets of the spaceships they were building, and they have in terms of my labs and all of that. But and here's a statement that he made toward the end of his life, because he was, I think he gave that information to Kennedy. And I don't want to be just too loud for you, but I just want to play his words. And he was saying that they turned against him even back in the 60s when Okay. Well, here's the
Understand. Every president from George Washington all the way to the present. Every time a president is nominated, they get a visitation from the Galactic Federation.
Oh.
Every president has had a visitation from the Galactic Federation.
I see. Okay. Well, listen, as we close the show, we're getting down to the wire here, another 10 minutes, I think. But here's his statement toward the end of his, where he was talking about the military industrial complex. I don't want to be too loud for your ears, but here is his statement.
In 1998, my group, working with constitutional attorney Daniel Sheehan, that's in our new documentary, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which is up on all the platforms now. He and I looked at this issue, and if you have a minute to hear me out, what happened, I don't know if you can imagine the strange predicament a doctor is in, whose, of course, uncle was one of the pioneers in aerospace with Northrop Grumman, working on the Apollo mission, to be asked to come up to Washington to brief the sitting CIA director as a civilian on a subject because the president and he were being denied access. Now, let me repeat this. The president of the United States and the director of the CIA were being denied. Now, I have a FedEx letter from the person setting up this meeting between me and the CIA director, Woolsey, that states that they had inquired about this subject, they knew there were programs going on, highly classified, and they were denied access to it. I didn't believe that could be true. I thought this is a bad John le Carré novel. And when I got up to D.C. and met with the director of the CIA, I realized nobody was joking. This is absolutely true. And that's when I realized in December 1993 that our country, the Constitution, the rule of law had completely run off the rails, at least in this specific area. And it was pretty much what Eisenhower, if you looked at the last speech Eisenhower made when he left office, when he said, beware the military-industrial complex, because it will become a threat if we're not careful to our democracy and our way of life. That was his farewell speech. And this is a five-star general, World War II hero, of course, and a Republican. And no one really understood why he made that as his last speech. Well, it turns out one of his military guys who worked with him the last couple years of his administration was an old guy that I got to know and was one of our disclosure project whistleblowers, said, oh yeah, I was at the White House and Eisenhower had been pushed aside and had lost control of those projects.
And so that was Dr. Greer. He's, you know, he's been out there a long time. Again, for the people who want to catch up with the history of all of this, all you got to do is go to watch his documentary. You can go to YouTube and watch it. It's about an hour and 10 minutes. It's The Lost Century. That's one of them. And the other one he has written was Unacknowledged. He has a book called Unacknowledged, too. It's about an hour-long documentary on this. 700 million people have watched that. But anyway, so you're saying that's all true, that presidents are not getting the information from the people who control the Secret Space Force. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
They don't have the clearance to go to.
They don't have the clearance. But at one point, you had the clearance at one point.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, of course.
All right. So for the people who are just coming to all this coming to the light of day about aliens and UFOs and all the 60 Minutes and the congressional hearings, and let me just play this clip, 60 Minutes.
We have tackled many strange stories on 60 Minutes, but perhaps none like this. It's the story of the U.S. government's grudging acknowledgement of unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP, more commonly known as UFOs. After decades of public denial, the Pentagon now admits there's something out there, and the U.S. Senate wants to know what it is. The Intelligence Committee has ordered the Director of National Intelligence and the Secretary of Defense to deliver a report on the mysterious sightings by next month.
The story will continue in a moment.
It was going to continue in order and order. So what do you suggest people do? I mean, we have radio programs like this, and you have, I look at Michael Seller. He has the Exopolitics. That's a podcast. Millions and hundreds of millions of people. Well, I could say millions of people watch that. Then you have Billy Carson. Yeah. He has the number four, Bit Knowledge. He's a couple hundred thousand people listen to his podcast day by day. And, of course, we had Dr. Stephen Greer talk. He's all over the place with a lot of information. What would you suggest, Billy? And you have your own podcast and your own website. What would you tell people to do to catch up to speed on all of this?
Just know that you're God and Goddess. And know that you have the power to heal. That would be the thing I'd emphasize to them.
I see.
As far as UFOs, yeah, they're out there, and they are in orbit around your planet right now, and there are also ships that are on your Earth right now, but they're cloaked. You can't see them, but they're there.
I see.
Those are Arcturian ships. Those are what you call healing ships. They're there. They are positioned outside of every metropolitan city.
Wow.
On the planet.
Wow. But you know this because you lived it, but how about all the thousands and millions and hundreds of millions of people, maybe billions, who have never lived any of your experiences? How are they to know that some of this is true, to believe, to think differently besides following
they can actually experience the power I'm talking about by simply rubbing their hands together and pulling their hands apart. If you put your hands together like you're praying, and then take them apart about 18 inches or so, and then start coming, bringing them back together very slowly. As you do, you begin to feel a pressure. Keep coming together, and it begins to heat up. When it starts to heat up, you stop. That is an outward showing of the power that you possess. Everybody has it. Everybody. No matter what walk of life they're in, no matter what race they are, or anything, every single person on this planet is one.
And
you
talked about, we also talked about telepathy, that the aliens communicated through telepathy. They didn't have to use the vocal skills that we have. And remote viewing was a real deal out there, and people are using remote viewing to discover whatever they want to see in the past or the future or the now or something that's hidden in your closet. Let me do this 1 minute.
Yeah,
what we're doing with Close Encounters is a fifth kind of sort of a citizens' diplomacy outreach to these civilizations using some rather novel and perhaps controversial protocols and techniques, but that work. And they're based on what I was talking about earlier, non-locality and consciousness and connection to these objects. They have very sophisticated systems that can interface with people who go into what some people would call a deep meditative state, who then can remote view. Now, the remote viewing term is from the CIA back in the 70s, where they trained people to basically spy on the Soviet Union using consciousness. And it was a very successful program. If you look at Dr. Russell Targ and others, he's a physicist who was in that program for 23 years, they had enormous success using that. We're using that not to spy, but to make contact and to create a liaison between humans and those civilizations, because our government has completely failed us, and frankly, so has the United Nations. So that's why we're taking this wide through doing this documentary.
Yeah, that's Dr. Greer. Listen, in closing.
Two minutes.
We got 2 minutes, and I'll leave the 2 minutes up to you. What would you say to us, since you've been through tons of experiences that we have, most of us have no clue about, to be in Area 51, to have the, to know that there are spaceships traveling the universe, that the moon is an observatory and people are now living on Mars. You know all that. We don't know all that. And it's hard for us, based on our programming, to believe any of that. So what would you say to people? What would you say?
Do your homework.
Okay.
Look into, you know, like pictures of Mars, okay? You got like a series of pictures of Mars. It'll start out like 1, 2, 3, 5, 8 pictures that are missing in the row of film. Question what that is.
1 minute.
Question
okay,
why
well, thank you.
Is your gap
give
in
us,
the row of film?
We have 60 seconds. Give us your website so people can follow you. What is your website once again?
www.zorra, Z-O-R-R-A, of, O-F, hollow, H-O-L-L-O-W, earth, E-A-R-T-H, .com.
And you do a program here on BBS Radio. When are you on next? BBS Radio here, .com. What is your next program?
It'll be next Saturday.
Next Saturday?
Saturday.
What time?
And it's on BBS Radio. It's called Time to Wake Up.
Oh, Time to Wake Up. That's next Saturday on BBS Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, it's been my pleasure and honor to have had Colonel on the air with us today to give us the information. And I certainly hope that you follow him and keep up with all the things that are coming down, all the disclosure things that are coming from Congress and from the Pentagon and from wherever. But thank you very much for listening to bbsradio.com/lightsinthenight. Thank you, Don. Thank you for having us on the air. Bye now.
BBS Radio TV.
All right. We're off the air. Well done. Well done. We're off the air. Wow, great show. Fabulous. Fabulous! No, I mean it. Wow, I love that show. Wow, Dr. Russell, Billy, you fantastic.
He's good. He's got a lot of information. Thank you, Billy. Thank you, sir.
A lot of information.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. And you guys have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good one.
Well, I appreciate both of you. Have an amazing, amazing weekend, a fabulous Saturday evening, and God bless you both. You're just fantastic.
Okay, well, thank you, Bob. Thank you. God love you. Take care now.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank
you. Hey, Russell, give me a call back,
okay? Yeah, sure, brother.